Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, speak to us. Your servants are listening. Amen. Well, it is said that most men, I say most, okay, so that if you are, it's not a sweeping statement, most men have three kinds of temptations. First one is glory, second one is gold, the third one is girl. Most women, again I say, have to say most because my wife doesn't fit into this category. Most women also have three kinds of temptations. The first one is shopping. The second one is shopping. The third one is also shopping. Oh, well, I had to say because my wife doesn't fit into that category. I thank God for that. In our Old Testament reading, we heard how David was tempted and abused his power, not only to fulfill his sexual desires, but also abused his power to cover up his own actions. On the other hand, in the New Testament, in our gospel reading, we heard about a victim, the abused, or in the words of Simon, the Pharisee, a sinner. And in the epistle reading, we heard about grace. The good news for today comes out of our epistle reading. About grace, Paul writing to Galatians. We have the abused, we have the abuser, and then we have the grace. Then you have to ask immediately, where is the justice? Make no mistake, when Bathsheba gave birth, the first child was struck by God. That was the justice. Well, David was forgiven, but the first child was struck by God. So, let's recap. David brought Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, and slept with her. When she told David that she was pregnant, David wanted to cover up by bringing Uriah from the war and sent him home to be with his wife. Although Uriah returned from the war, he did not go home, faithful servant. And he said, how could I go home when my king and the king's men were in this open field? David now didn't know what to do, therefore he sent back Uriah to the war only to be killed. Then he took Bathsheba. Maybe that was one good thing he did, because kings could do that, right? Kings could have so many wives. And instead of abandoning her, he took her, and then the child that was born was struck by God. Well, when Nathan the prophet confronted David, David did not deny, rather broke down in repentance. David had only one thing to offer to God, that was his brokenness. And in the gospel reading, we heard that Jesus was invited by a Simon the Pharisee. Well, why would a Pharisee invite Jesus? Isn't it, we read that Pharisees were trying to kill Jesus? But, you know, in the also Gospels read that not all Pharisees were bad. And in fact, some Pharisees came and told Jesus, oh, go from here because the Herod was trying to kill you. Or Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to test him whether he would come or not. In any case, Jesus came and he was at the house of Simon. A woman came and anointed his feet with oil. While this incident was recorded by all four Gospels, well, they cannot differ where exactly it happened, but I like the way Gospel of Mark records it. Listen to this. While he was at the Bethany, Gospel of Mark writes, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. The common theme of these two passages was broken to heal. David was broken to be healed, and the woman broke the jar of ointment, and that is an indication of her brokenness. Well, it is not enough to reflect on what kinds of harm do we do to people and how sometimes we also become victims, but also important to recognize our brokenness and offer that to God to be healed. It is at the altar where we remember how the body of Christ was broken for us. Both perpetrator and the victim find grace and healing for their broken lives. Let's look at closely the gospel reading. Simon, when he invited Jesus, he did not follow the rituals of welcoming a guest, especially for someone like Jesus, who was considered as a rabbi in those days. He was supposed to wash his feet. He didn't. He was supposed to embrace him with a kiss, which he didn't. And he was supposed to anoint him with fragrant oil, and he didn't. These welcoming rituals have cultural significance. I, who come from India, relate to these rituals so well because we grew up with these rituals. Why do you think when a guest comes, you have to wash the feet or you have to give water for them to wash feet? Can you guess? Some people are nodding their heads. Tell me why. I'm sorry? Dusting, because in those days the only mode of transportation was walking. And they walk miles. We used to walk miles. Then when you just don't go into your house, but we could leave the shoes outside, then why do we need to wash? You know why? The cold water will cool off the feet. So soothing, so nice. That's the first purpose. And then the second one is anointing with fragrant oil, right? Perfume. If you go to some of the weddings in India, as you enter, they have the huge can of rose water. They just sprinkle on you like water. Why do they do that? Again, when you walk miles and miles, in those days, there was no antiperspirants, right? Actually, that's how women started wearing the flowers. But these days they wear plastic flowers because they don't need it, right? But that's how. So you anoint or you get some perfume so that you camouflage the sweat smell. And the third one is, of course, kissing or hugging or inviting somebody into the... That's a sign of acceptance. So Simon did not do any of these things. And you wonder why he even invited Jesus, right? On top of that, he was suspecting Jesus by thinking, if he were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this was and would not allow her to touch him. But Jesus, who can read our thoughts, addressed Simon right away. You know, I love Psalm 139. Even though I don't read 139 as often as I read Psalm 23, but Psalm 139, listen to this, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. This is very chilling verse here. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Now, when God could see you, even before you're formed, He could read our minds. So when people like David do something like that, and thinking that nobody is watching them, what exactly David was telling? God, you are blind. You see the logic there? When I do something and think that God is not watching me, I'm actually saying God is blind. Or when I am saying something which, when I think God is not listening to me, I'm actually saying God is deaf. So Jesus addressed Simon right away of what Simon was thinking, and then Jesus gave the example of forgiving the debts which are greater. Then he looked at the woman and said, look, this woman really had some things, therefore she was forgiven. She obviously heard about Jesus. We read that she was a prostitute. She had only one thing to offer, a costly perfume. Probably that's all she had. And then a Jewish woman cannot show her hair like that in the public. And she was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. And that was very offensive. But she did it anyway because she was so broken, she did not have anything else to lose. She could be careless about everybody else, just focus only on Jesus and experience His unconditional acceptance. Everyone who approached her probably wanted something out of her. She was tired of people. She was so isolated, and she was in search of someone who could accept her. And Jesus helped her to find that forgiven community, which helped her to have a sense of belongingness. Simon branded her as a sinner. I wonder whether he was also not part of exploitation of this woman like David. Otherwise, this woman who was known as a sinner, how could she just walk into a house like Simon the Pharisee? And I'm thinking this is not the first time she was there. The irony was that we live in a society where sometimes victims are branded as perpetrators. That's exactly what Simon was doing. And the Gospel of Mark, as I mentioned, records that she broke open the jar and poured out the ointment. You know, alabaster jar is made up of a delicate stone. And think of a coconut. It's like a coconut. The only way you can get the meat out of coconut is by breaking it. Because the perfume is so delicate, you can't just open and close it. It's a one-time use. That's why it's so expensive. In a way, this woman's life was like that alabaster jar. She was so closed and she was cut off from the society. Now she broke open her jar. In a way, she offered her brokenness at the feet of Jesus. She offered the best that she had. Sometimes the best that we have is our brokenness. In the words of Gloria Gaither's hymn, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, and He made something beautiful of my life. My friends, and that is the good news for us. If the only thing that I have is brokenness, then you can bring it to the altar. Just look at that stained glass window. Whenever I look at the stained glass window, I wonder why we call it stained glass window. I see my wife works hard to remove stains with the stain remover. Whereas we call a stained glass window. You know why? the stained glass window is nothing but bunch of broken pieces of glass. Somebody put it together and now it's beautiful. Sometimes our lives are full of stains and full of broken stories. As we gather around the Lord's table, we remember how Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Bring your brokenness to me and I will heal you." And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you." Just like the woman poured out the ointment, Jesus said, "I poured out my blood for you so that come to me, I will cleanse your sins." And that is the good news that we heard from our epistle reading today. St. Paul, writing to Galatians, he wrote, "I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Amen.